Hallelujah. worship and adore you, bowing down before you. Songs of praise you sing, hallelujahs ringing, hallelujah, 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 amen.
It's great to see a beautiful day outside. It's great to see you here in the fellowship of God's house, and yet we know that as we look around us, that there are still many who are not with us, and that is for various reasons. But we want to remember several this morning that we've been made aware. Debbie Brandstein is sick. The Himes are sick. Iris Guerin is sick this morning. Abby Swearinger has been sick. And Bert Mills suffered a fall, and we need to be remembering her as she has a healing for a puncture wound on her knee, and then some pain that she's experiencing in her abdomen, the chest area, and so then also I noticed this morning that Lane Mendenhall, they had intended to be at church this morning, but I saw a post early this morning that he had over 100-degree fever, and so just enough to keep them from being able to come to church as they had planned. So there's still a lot of sickness that indeed that we are fighting, and we want to be remembering those folks. I'm sure there are others very well that may not have known about or may not have mentioned this morning that have not been able to be here. We are glad that you're able to be here. Good to see Max and Sue. They've not been able to get out for several weeks, and so good to have them in service with us this morning. Good to have each of you, and indeed good to see Ray and Bonnie back. And some of you, you've been back probably, and I was gone for a while. So at any rate, I'm glad to see you in church this morning, and good to be with you and to worship with you and to fellowship together. We want to pray one for another, and then we also have we want to remember John Rogers, who sister passed away, and we want to remember his family. I think there's some travel involved there and some other things. I don't know all the details yet, but to be praying for their family as they go through this time. And then as we have all of these things that can tend to weigh upon us and sometimes are a heavy load to kind of shoulder and carry around, all the things that are going on, there are also some very exciting things that happen, and indeed answers to prayer that God provides. And so, Janet, is your mic hot? Okay, maybe you need to make this announcement.
Steve and I are the proud grandparents of a new baby granddaughter that was born Wednesday. Not of our family, but she's a part of our family now.
All right.
We've been praying Elizabeth Grace.
Been praying for John and Stephanie, and they have indeed come through the adoption process and have a new baby in their home. So we give God the praise and the glory. We celebrate with them, and pledge ourselves to pray that God will help them. This is a new adventure. It's even different than having 9 months to kind of prepare yourself for what may come. This one came in about 9 hours, I think. It was a very, very quick, even though they've been working at this for quite some time, this thing all accelerated very quickly, but we're excited for what has happened for them. We pray for their families, indeed, that God will bless them, and that is where they are at this morning. And so just pray that God helps this young one to grow strong, and very soon they'll be back in our fellowship, and we'll enjoy and hopefully not overwhelm them with our attention, give them a little space and grace for grace. And so at any rate, we are excited and we celebrate. Indeed, we are praying for our annual church meeting that comes up at the end of the month in the first week of March, praying about praying with those who are considering nominating letters, indeed, to turn those in today, and asking for God's direction as we elect church leadership for the coming year. So thank you. And indeed, as Ben has already mentioned, It's a big project to prepare the church budgets and things. So be praying for the finance committee as they prepare to go into their work on Thursday. Just a lot of things to remember. But indeed, God is good and God is great and able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask or imagine. So let's stand together this morning as we prepare our hearts for prayer. These altars are open to you. If you have need of them, you feel free to come as we sing this morning.
We worship and adore you, bowing down before you. Songs of praise are singing, hallelujahs ringing, hallelujah, 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 amen.
Father, we indeed celebrate you today. We're thankful for this Lord's Day. We're thankful for a house of God to come to worship and to praise you. We thank you, Father, for all who have come in today. And we pray for those who could not, that desired to. And Lord, we pray for those yet who have to find the desire in their heart. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to reach out to them with the love of Jesus Christ. Help us to make connection with those who do not have a place, a church home. For those who do not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, let each of us as your ministers reach out and share the love of Jesus Christ as we go about our life. We thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy indeed that has blessed us. We thank you that you have given to us the gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And Father, we just pray that you would help us to share that good news with all that we come in contact with. Help us to live our lives in such a way as to have an influence on others that would draw them to the charismatic person that Jesus is and to the truth of who he is. Lord, we pray that Nixa Church of the Nazarene would continue to fulfill its kingdom mission in sharing the gospel and reaching out to broken and hurting people. Lord, indeed, to disciple those who are followers. And Lord, may we accomplish all that needs to be accomplished. Lord, we pray for those that indeed are sick and could not be with us today, that as the great physician, you'd reach out a healing hand to them. We pray for those who are recovering from surgeries and other bouts with sickness and things, that indeed you would continue to bring healing into their lives. Lord, we just ask today that we would focus on you, that we would respond to your word, that indeed, Father, that we would be the people that you have designed us to be and given us the potential to be, that Lord, that we would be pleasing in your sight, that we would be that fragrant aroma that the scripture speaks about to you and to others around us, Lord. We want to leave a positive image of Jesus Christ and of our Father God. Lord, we pray you just continue to help us to be a lighthouse to our community, and that you indeed would bless as we prepare for elections and for budget meetings and decisions about denominations, all these things that are going on, the ongoing services. Bless our small groups as they meet tonight, and those of us who will meet here at the church. Lord, may we continue just to worship and to praise you, to celebrate all you've done. And we do pray a special blessing, and we offer up our thanksgiving and celebration with John and Stephanie today at the answer to their prayers. And Lord, bless Elizabeth Grace and bless John and Steph, Lord. And just may this be a great life together for them. Thank you for people who are willing to care for those who cannot care for some of those that they've brought into this world. Father, we thank you for adoptive parents. We thank you for foster parents. We thank you for people who indeed have hearts of love and willing servants to help others. Lord, just continue to help us to reach out in the servant spirit of Jesus Christ to our world, and we will give you the praise for it all, for you are worthy of our praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And all God's people said, amen.
As I look out over this congregation, I see a lot of you that have gone through all sorts of trials and tribulations over the weeks, months, and years. And when Sue called me this week asking me to sing, I immediately knew what song I wanted to sing. This is a song about God being with us.
Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you.
And there we go. Aging equipment sometimes creates technical difficulties, but I think we got good. I think we got plenty of volume here, and we're looking good. I was at the nursing home this morning. Pastor Don and Ruth have gone to Kansas this weekend. It's been about 7 weeks since they'd been able to check in on their daughter and son-in-law, and so indeed they asked for permission to go, and we granted that, and so they are away from us this morning. And so went with some of our folks to the nursing home, had an enjoyable time, harmonizing with Gerald and Phyllis. And so we sang a little bit and sang with those folks, and we were greeting them at the conclusion of the service. And one lady said to me, she said, Now, where are you from? And I said, I'm from the Church of the Nazarene. And she said, well, I used to go to the Church of the Nazarene. And I said, well, that's interesting. Where did you used to go to the Church of the Nazarene? Expecting to hear something in the area. And indeed, this is what she said to me. She said, I used to go to the Church of the Nazarene in Split Log, Missouri. Well, very few people know where Split Log, Missouri is. And as she was getting ready to explain to me where it was, I said, well, that's interesting. I used to pastor the Church of the Nazarene in Split Log, Missouri. And come to find out, I knew her name. I'd seen it on the rolls there. And she had been gone for some time. But indeed, she is now here at Christian Healthcare in the nursing center. So it is indeed a small world for God's people. Everywhere we go, we run into people that we know, sometimes that we are related to. And indeed, with these folks, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that was a sort of a unique moment. There are not very many Split Logians around. So at any rate, what a great time. We had a good number in the nursing home, and they were smiling and coherent for the most part. And sometimes we finish the nursing home service and they look like they do here after I preach. You know, there's one or two dozing off every once in a while. And so indeed, we had a great time. If you have never done nursing home ministry, I told them this morning, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, as a younger minister, I used to go to the nursing home thinking I was going to be a blessing to somebody. And I have found through the years, 37 years, 35 years now of pastoral ministry, but in years of going to the nursing home, that it never ceases that those people bless me and they minister to me. And so indeed, we are thankful for that opportunity and thankful for the folks who went with us. We want to continue this morning in a short series that we begun last week. For those of you who were not with us, it is a message entitled, I Am a Church Member. It actually comes from a book that the Lord sent me three copies of over the last couple of months, and one from the church, one from CPO during Pastor Appreciation Month, and then one from one of my children for Christmas. So as I was preparing last week, God brought this to my attention, and I was planning on preaching something else, and He just wouldn't let me get away from this. And so I thought, as we were going into our annual meeting in election time, it was a good time perhaps to share this with you. The book is written by a man named Tom Rainer, who was a Southern Baptist minister for many years in Nashville. He is now the CEO of Lifeway Resources. And so very well-educated man, very well-studied, and just a great little read. And so we've been trying to share some of that with you this morning. And if you remember last week, there were three things that we touched on, talking about being the church member that we need to be. One, that I will be a functioning church member. Two, that I will be a unifying member. And three, that I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires. And so we talked about some of the things that sometimes can be, that maybe shouldn't be. And this morning, we want to continue and talk a little bit about some of the things that indeed that should be as we think of ourselves as a church member. And if you remember kind of the baseline premises of this entire message is that we have reached a point in our society where we are kind of a customer-driven mentality. We kind of want buffet everything, and customer service is all about the customer is always right. Well, you've heard me preach for many years that God doesn't issue Burger King religion. It's not you have it your way. God indeed has laid out some things in His Word, and He's given us some directives, and He has some thoughts, and He wants us to pursue Him. He wants us to be a disciple of His teaching. He wants us to follow His thought. And indeed, we need to do things His way. And so this particular author has put together some thought that I think is good thought. And indeed, we share with you as we think about the future of our church and how can we make it the best that it can possibly be by being the best church members we can be. Because indeed, the church is not the building, but indeed, the church is the people. And so whatever our church is going to be, it's going to be about what we make of it and how we carry out our responsibilities and how we do the things that indeed God has laid on our heart. And so I refer you back to Romans chapter 12. verses 4 and 5 this morning as we begin together again. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And so we talk for a moment and again just want to touch base with the thought that when we come together as the body of Christ, we all are different. We have different talents and abilities. God has called us to different tasks, but as we put it all together, we form a one body just as the parts of our human body, and indeed that body then functions as everyone is fulfilling their role and pulling their share and doing their part of the load. And when one rejoices, we all rejoice, just like John and Stephanie this morning. Isn't that great? What a wonderful thing to rejoice about an answer to prayer like that for a couple who's been waiting for the adoption process. How exciting. And then when we hurt, Brother John lost his sister just this past week to death. And when one of our members hurt, we all hurt with them. And indeed, so these are ongoing incidents within the church and the body of Christ, that these various things are happening to various ones. But we come together and we find strength and encouragement and renewal in each other. So as we continue this morning, we want to share with this thought in mind, that I am a church member, and I will pray for my church leaders. There's a lot of leadership position in the church. Obviously, the pastor is the most obvious, but we have staff people, we have Sunday school teachers, we have department heads, we have various amounts of people that are taking on quite a load to see that things function and happen, and we can't survive without them. The church is primarily a volunteer organization, and so we need to pray for our leaders. I want to turn your attention to 1 Timothy chapter 3. There is sort of an emphasis here, as this Brother Tom wrote on pastors, but it applies, I think, to all. But in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 5, it says, "Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap." And all of those are of significant importance and of great value. But as we look at that last verse, that indeed is where we want to have a tremendous influence with those people who are on the outside. We want to encourage those people to come to know Jesus Christ. We want to as leaders, exude confidence that others can come along and trust leadership and follow along the way. And so the person who is a appropriate church member is praying for their leadership. They're praying for their pastor. They're praying for all those others that are out there. They're praying that we know that they say that a church never rises above the level of its leadership. And so we know that the enemy is constantly out there trying to distract and to defeat and to undermine. And it was interesting. Let me see if I can find it right quick and kind of just read it to you. I get to points like this, and sometimes it makes me feel like I'm almost self-promoting, but let me just, some of you who've been in ministry and been in leadership in different organizations will be able to relate to this. This indeed is not the correct name, but this is a true account out of a daily journal in regard to a pastoral responsibility. He wakes up on a Thursday morning and his calendar is clear, which is unusual for his busy schedule. But he sets down to study for Sunday's sermon. His Bible is open. His study aids are nearby. And then the phone rings. His assistant tells him about a car accident involving a family in the church. The ambulances are already on the way to the hospital. Mike leaves his study material on the desk and jumps into his car. On the way to the hospital, his assistant calls him again. The entire family of five were in the car. None were seriously hurt except the father. And his condition is grave. Pastor Mike walks into the emergency room. The family's just been told that their husband and father did not make it. They see their pastor and run to him sobbing in total shock. He's there for them. He stays with the entire family for 3 hours until he's certain enough people are around to care for them. He then stops by his home to see his wife and grab a quick sandwich. It's now afternoon. He's not sure if he can return to his sermon preparation, but he knows he must. He must fight the emotional exhaustion of the morning and finish the message. But as he walks back to the church, his assistant apologetically tells him that two people need to speak with him. They consider it urgent. So Mike meets with the two men. One of them is the worship leader of the church. He's struggling with his ministry and is considering giving up. For 2 hours, Mike listens, consoles, and attempts to encourage the staff member. Then the next visitor catches Mike off guard. He's one of the key leaders in the church. He's considered a friend and an incredibly vital person in the overall leadership. And he says, "My wife is having an affair," and he doesn't speak anything else for the next 5 minutes, just cries. Mike stays with George for over 2 hours. They pray together and talk about next steps. It's nearly 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Mike is too drained to attempt to get back to his sermon. He begins to look at his crowded email inbox. He cringes when he sees one of the senders of an email, but he cannot stop himself from opening the message. It's from one of Mike's most frequent critics. She has two complaints. The first irritation was something he said in last Sunday's sermon. The second addressed his failure to visit her sister-in-law, who had minor outpatient surgery yesterday. A woman who is not a member of the church, and he knew nothing about the surgery. Pastor Mike shuts the laptop cover, moves to his car. He'll stop by the house to grab a quick bite to eat. Then he needs to check on the Godsey family at the hospital. He'll stay with them for a while, but he must leave prior to 7:30 when he has to give the invocation for a local high school basketball game. Several people corner him at the game, so he doesn't get home until 9 o'clock. He goes to his study, shuts the door, and begins to cry because Gary Godsey, the man who was killed, was his best friend. Now, every day is not like that. And it doesn't matter whether you're a pastor or a person in any other job. Your day can be like that. Those kind of things can happen. But the point we're making this morning is that those people who are in leadership in the church often are carrying many other things on their tablet and on their desktop. And indeed, your prayers for them are significant prayers. Your prayers for them make a difference. And so in order to be the church member that God wants you to be, it's important to pray for your church leaders. Pray for their family. Pray for their protection. It talks about being above reproach and people not being able to find fault with him. And indeed, pray for his physical and mental health, because while every pastor would love to have all of the amenities to do just the right thing physically and do all the right things mentally, a lot of times you don't have that opportunity in order to do things and meet expectations. And so indeed, your pastors, your Sunday school teachers, your department heads, your church leaders, even people that are your supervisors at work, people who carry a load, trying to be responsible for a lot of people, people who own businesses where other people's livelihoods are dependent upon their success. Pray for those people. They're under a lot more load sometimes than we realize, because they not only want to succeed themselves, but they want everyone who they're touching. They want them to succeed as well. Here's the fourth pledge. I am a church member. I will pray for my pastor every day. I understand that the pastor's work is never ending. His days are filled with numerous demands that bring emotional highs and lows. He must deal with critics. He must be a good husband and father. Because my pastor cannot do all things in his own power, I pray for his strength and wisdom daily. And again, it's not just your pastor, but other church leaders who indeed are facing this load as well. And not only do we want to pray for church leaders, but indeed we want to teach our family to be healthy church members. You know, my life, I've never not been in church. My mom and dad were involved in the church. They've held leadership positions. They've participated at various points. They encouraged us to go. We had the pastor in our home to eat. We've had the people, missionaries and others who came in our home. All my life, I have been witness to lay people giving of themselves for the sake of the kingdom. I feel like that's a blessing. I feel like I was taught to respect the leaders of the church. I feel like I was taught to pray for the people who lead the church. I feel like I was taught to indeed persevere even when things weren't exactly the way maybe that I would like for them to be. The scripture that's given here, and I'm not going to read it in its entirety this morning, but the passage of scripture that's given here is indeed from Ephesians chapter 5. It's talking about the correlation between husbands and wives and their responsibility to each other, and then it relates it to how that's like the church and how we need to give ourselves for the church as we give ourselves for our spouses. And I want you to consider something this morning as we think about the church, because so often when we begin to talk about the body of Christ or we talk about the local church, people want to keep that in a very general term. They always want to think about this more in terms of the entire kingdom of God. But I remind you that most of the Bible in the New Testament is written to specific local bodies. I remind you that as God makes comparisons in Scripture, He refers down to one specific body. The eyes and the ears and these many other parts. And so I believe that the Scripture, that as we look at the life of Paul, as we think about the letters to the churches in Revelation, that over and over God identifies the importance of the local church in His Word. It is indeed the combination of many local churches that are carrying out the work of the kingdom on the face of this earth. And just as each individual within a local church has a significant part to play, sometimes the diversity of the many churches compares in the same way in functioning as the body of Christ. But we find in many places in the Scripture, God bringing it down and referring to things in the local church situation. We need to teach our families to pray together as a family for the church. Pray for spiritual protection. Pray for protection from moral failure for leaders. Pray for the preaching of the word in truth. Pray for their families. Pray for encouragement. Indeed, pray for physical strength. Pray for their courage to make decisions and do the right thing. Pray for discernment. Ben was talking this morning about this meeting that will occur on Thursday evening. And indeed, when you're trying to discern ministry and the things that you want to see happen, and you're dealing with maybe a finite number of dollars that might be available, you're trying to do things at some level of faith, but you're also trying not to be presumptuous in your faith because you can't spend money you don't have. And so indeed, as people desire things, and we all have conversations and we hear people say, well, I wish we had this, or I wish our church did that, or I wish we had this program, or I wish we had that facility, or whatever. And all of that takes investment. And then there are those daily things that go on. We can't turn the lights on without paying the electric bill. You know, we can't turn the heat on without paying the gas bill. We can't. There's so many things that are kind of out of our control, other than the fact that we try to manage facility, turning down thermostats. I was going around checking thermostats yesterday and resetting some thermostats to a few degrees less so that less dollars were going out during the week when the building is empty, and trying to monitor that so that it doesn't get too cold to where it takes too many dollars to heat it back up when you get in it, and trying to find those fine lines, but trying to manage. We're all trying to be good stewards, just like we're trying to be good stewards in our homes and our personal lives. We're trying to be good stewards of God's dollars here at the church. That takes wisdom. And as those finance committee members meet on Thursday night, would you pray for them that God gives them wisdom and direction? Because they will make hard decisions. They will make decisions about things that have to be done, and then they'll try to make decisions about what we can choose to try to do. And they want to be the best steward that they possibly can be. So they can use your prayers. They can use your support as they come together. And then we need to teach our families to worship together in the church. When I was a kid growing up, do you know, I didn't know that Sunday school and church were two different things. My folks never talked about going to Sunday school or going to worship service. There wasn't an option. You didn't do one or the other. I just thought both were always one. And we went to all of it, and we went to revivals, and we went to everything else that was going on. And then on Saturday night, we'd truck around the country, and my mom and my sisters would sing at singings out in some of the other people's churches. So I've grown up my whole life being around the church. But I tell you this, I believe that I'm a blessed person because of the church. For the last 35 years, the church has blessed me with gifts, honorariums. They have cared for my children as they grew up. They have honored them with Christmas gifts. And they've done birthday and anniversary recognitions and pastor appreciation things. And I am a blessed person because of God's church. That's you. The people are the church. You're my family. There's times when I can't be with my blood family and things are going on, and I talk to some of you. You're my family. You blessed us with the recent sabbatical. You believed in us. You gave us time away. You've trusted Pastor Don to have some time free to go and minister to his family while his son-in-law is dying. Those are invaluable. Those are precious gifts to us. And I am thankful that my family taught me to go to church and to worship and to be a part of that. And perhaps we even need to see each of our own families as a mission field. Let me share with you a passage of Scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. Our families are our first mission field. Trying to make sure that our spouses, as well as ourselves, know Jesus Christ. Trying to minister to our children. You know, it's an exciting thing. I remember not very many months ago when Amber walked in the church and she said, Jocelyn has something to tell you. And I said, well, what do you want to tell me, Jocelyn? She said, I asked Jesus in my heart. You know why? Because her mother prayed with her. Our families are a mission field. Praying together, considering God before meals or at other times, special times, family altars, all those kinds of things. I know we live in a busy world. It's hard to get everybody at the same spot at the same time. We're just all going all kinds of directions. But as much as you can in given situations, if you can stop and pause and worship God even in your home, then how much stronger it is then as you come together to worship with this family. We need to fall deeply in love with the bride of Christ. In Ephesians, he's made this comparison that Christ, that our husband and wife is like Christ and the church. We want to do more than just like our church. We want to serve our church, and we want to fall deeply in love with the opportunities that are presented by honoring God through His church. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15 reads like this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Let me ask you this question. How many of you, now I'm blessed in that my family, God has allowed me to be here, and my family, immediate family, is within 50 miles of me. How many of you live a long ways from your family? How many of you have ever found solace in the people who sit in these pews beside you when you cannot get close to your family? That's what God's love does. That's what a local church does. A place where we can begin to know each other, to identify with each other, to encourage each other, to support each other. There is value within the local church that is significant and specific to a specified body, not just the entire body of Christ over the entire world, because the truth of the matter is you don't know all those people. Who is it that comes when you need help? Who is it that writes when you need encouragement? Who is it that calls when it's a difficult time? It's the people you know, the people who know about you and your situation. We cannot overemphasize the importance and the value of being a part of a specific local church. And I believe that that's what God is trying to say as He has compared Christ and the church to a husband and wife and the value of a bride. And then there's this. I want to treasure my church membership as a gift from God. If somebody tells you about a responsibility that you have to do, or they give you the option to receive something that someone wants to give to you, which of those two choices would you choose? To receive a gift or to go about a chore? God has blessed us with the church as a gift to us. Let me remind you of how many times the Scriptures talk about our own salvation being a gift. Look at Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we read, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And then in Romans 6, 23, we find these words, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Acts 3:19 reads this way, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." In Ephesians 2:8-9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Our salvation is a gift from God. The opportunity to be a part of a local church, to be a member, to belong, to have family, to be a sense of the body is a gift from God. And when we see things as a gift, we treat them differently than we do an obligation. When we do things that we want to do, it's different than doing things we think we have to do. We need to see our relationship to Christ through His church as a gift, an opportunity to have family, an opportunity to have support, an opportunity to belong, an opportunity to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. We're given a picture of ingratitude in Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 through 28. "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." You remember the first image? That when we think of ourselves as the member of a church, we should not see the church as a country club, as a place where we pay our dues and get amenities, not a place where we come and what are they going to do for us, but a place where, out of appreciation for the gift of salvation that God has given us, we find a place to plug in turn share that gift with others, to serve others so that the Son of Man might find the lost, so that they might have the opportunity to be accepted, to be loved, to be a part of something, to find a place to work, to find fulfillment, to find satisfaction in being obedient to God and His Word and the mission of being a part of something greater. Here's the last pledge. "I am a church member. This membership is a gift. When I received the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, I became a part of the body of Christ. I soon thereafter identified with a local body and was baptized. And now I am humbled and honored to serve and to love others in our church. I pray that I will never take my membership for granted, but see it as a gift and an opportunity to serve others and to be a part of something much greater than any one person or member." I grew up 10 miles south of Fordland, Missouri. Fordland, Missouri was a town of about, at that time, probably 300 people. And 10 miles south of there, there were even less. I grew up in a church of 30 people. I found Jesus amongst those 30 people. I was taught the Word of God amongst those 30 people. Up until I was 12 years old, I hadn't hardly ever seen anything bigger than those 30 people. When we became a part of the Church of the Nazarene, the structure of the church is different than that of the Southern Baptist Church, and the organizational gatherings for the district and the general church are different than what they are so much with the Southern Baptist Convention. It was the way it was structured. I was never a part of those gatherings. But as I accepted my call to preach, and as I began to go to district assemblies, and as I began to then have opportunity to be a part of General Assembly, and as I went to meetings as a pastoral leader, I got to be parts of worship gatherings, the largest of which was about 60,000 people at one time, singing "And Can It Be?" There's something that happens, not that any of those 50,000 people are any more important than any one of the 30 that I worshiped with as a kid, but there's something that happens when you step into the body of Christ and you're now a part. You belong to something that is so much bigger than yourself. And if you've never sang hymns with 50,000 people, you ought to try it. It's an amazing experience. I remember just being in a PALCON, a pastor and leaders conference one time, that was strictly pastors, evangelists, retired ministers, all people who are called to do ministry. And there were 300 of us in that place that night in one church. And they started singing that verse of "And Can It Be" in that setting. "My chains fell off." And there were men and women of God who raised up out of their seats and raised their arms and waved their arms and shouted and cried. Sometimes it's important to realize that we're a part of something much bigger, but we're also still part of that small piece. And I can go to those gatherings and I'm inspired, but I still look forward to coming home to my family and trying to share those things. I'm excited about the opportunity on the 30th of March to try to share with you some of what our experience was in traveling through Europe and actually being at points and places that have to do with our Christian history, how the church was formed and how it's been carried through the years. And we thank you for that opportunity. But I want to share it with you. I want to share it with my family. Yes, the body of Christ is something much bigger than all of us. But we are members, or we need to be members, of a local church, a specific body that's carrying out God's work in a specific place. Because we need to connect with people we know and that we know care about us. As we go into these annual meetings and church elections, I just ask you to pray one for another. Pray that God indeed will touch you. Pray that God will lead you as you prepare to go to the ballot boxes and as you prepare to cast a ballot, as you're thinking about those nominating letters to be turned in today. Just ask God how He would have you to serve or share, what your qualifications are. Because being a member, being a part of something, is making commitments and following through on the commitments we make. God wants to bless Nixa Church of the Nazarene. God wants to win souls through Nixa Church of the Nazarene. God wants to train followers and believers through Nixa Church of the Nazarene. God wants to do all the things through this church He will do through any church. He's chosen to go through us. So our church will only be whatever we are. It's how He works. Steve, I need you to slip upstairs and find Pastor Jill for me and have her come, please. I want us to close this morning by just let's stand together. And let's just ask God to bless us as a church. Let's ask God to help us to think about our responsibility as members, our accountability to each other. You remember that verse of Scripture where it says that we're accountable to each other? We're not out on this on our own. It's about coming together, about working together. Pray for your leaders. Pray for the finance committee. Pray for the annual meeting. That indeed God will have His way in directing the leadership of the church. Father, we are indeed grateful for the opportunity and privilege of being a part of the body. Help us, Lord, to handle our responsibilities as we should. Help us, Father, to realize that You've given us a place through which we can serve and accomplish kingdom purposes. So, Lord, we love our church. We're thankful for this body of believers. We're thankful for this place to answer the call, to be in the pulpit, to share the word. Lord, we indeed want to be all that You have created us to be. As an individual believer, we want to live up to the potential that You created us with. And then, Lord, we want to put our talents and our abilities together with the others that You've called to this specific local church, and we want this to be a body that glorifies and honors You. Father, we are indeed grateful for all that you are doing and all that you're going to do. Lord, we know that even before things happen, you know about them. We don't always understand them. We don't always know why things are happening, when they're happening, the way they're happening. But Lord, we know that you know ahead of time what's going to take place. And your foreknowledge, Father, you know. And you have a plan. You've always had a plan for your church. And so, Lord, as we go through growth and as we go through changes and as we go through time, Lord, you're ahead of us. And we know that that's the way it is. And so, Lord, just help us to commit ourselves to being obedient to you, to serving and honoring you through a church. And indeed, Father, you will accomplish your purposes on this earth. We thank you, we love you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Can I have you be seated for just a moment? We have been blessed for several months now to have leadership in our children's department, and she has something to share with you this morning.
So that I can stay focused and so that I can do this in a timely manner, please bear with me while I read this. I recently came across thoughts I had jotted down before giving a testimony right here in this pulpit. You might remember the big purple hair and the big purple shoes. As I told how God had stretched me way out of my comfort zone to minister to others. God is very good in that business of stretching us outside of our comfort zones. The truth is, we're not always a happy customer. Sometimes we can muster a half-hearted, no pain, no gain. And then we wonder about the athletes and their insanity when they say, oh, it hurts so good. And the athlete, though, has to learn that art of stretching despite the pain because they know that it ushers in a positive and an exciting result. So here I stand again, minus the wig and the big shoes, to tell you that God is again stretching me outside of my comfort zone to minister to others. And I have to say, it hurts so good. Because I believe that God wants to usher in positive and exciting results. So I'm here to tell you today that Springfield First Church has offered me a children's ministry position that will transition into a full-time position as I can transition out of my 3 part-time jobs. And I believe that God wants me to go. And I love NCSA. I know that this has not surprised God nearly as much as it has surprised you and our kids. The kids that were here this morning, I have told, which is why I got in here a little bit late. You guys have been supportive. It's been awesome. I have appreciated your faith in me, your support of me, your love for me. I have loved these kids. They are precious to me. I have promised them that I will see them again, that I will keep in touch with them. I have promised them that if any of them qualify to go to District Kids Fest, I will be here to go with them. But officially, as children's pastor of NCSA Church of the Nazarene, my last Sunday will be the end of March. And I start at First Church April 1. So thank you so much for all that you have done for me, for my family, for allowing me to work with your kids. And I just have all kinds of prayer that God will bless you and just do awesome things. I told the kids this morning, you know, if I don't go, if I'm not obedient, then the plan that God has for NCSA can never happen. So anyway, thank you so much.
Carrie, come here, please. Jill. I'm so glad that God knows stuff ahead of time. I just wish he would tell me more sooner. But Jennifer and I have lived this experience. We know what it is to say goodbye to one place and to say we believe God has led us to someplace. So there's not much way I can argue as much as I'd like to. And this has been an interesting road and journey for Carrie and Jill. They came to us out of the Salvation Army. And God has used them to be a blessing to us. And Carrie has been kind of on a personal journey, not knowing exactly how God pulled him out of full-time ministry and put him in a security guard job. And then just recently they took that away from him. And so he's still in the journey. But indeed, I understand that this past week you were able to be out with a group and do a chalk drawing again.
Friday night. So
we're thankful for that. We believe that God indeed is working on their ministry and hopefully recreating and redoing. Pastor Jill, you just heard her say she's been working 3 part-time jobs just trying to contribute to her family income because they have to eat like the rest of us. And so we're happy that she can have a job and it just be one job in one place and not have to be going a lot of different directions. And we believe that God will raise up from within us or from outside of us someone to help us along the way. And so we will follow God's direction in all of that. But would you stand with me this morning? Indeed, they will be with us through the end of March. So they're not gone yet. So we're not going to get too boo-hooed just yet. We're going to keep them working. But I want us to pray for them. I want us to pray a blessing over them as we go this morning and ask that God indeed would touch them and help them. And Brother Steve, I want you to come. And Steve has been our children's ministry director for several years here, and we appreciate him. He's a volunteer. He's not getting any pay for anything, and Jill's not getting much pay. And so at any rate, we appreciate the people who love our kids and help us with them. But Steve, let me have you pray just a closing prayer and thank God for the blessing that Jill and Carrie have been to us, and indeed pray that God will bless them as they work into this new adventure.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day you've given us, dear God. Thank you for the service that we've been at. We felt your presence, dear Lord. And we just thank you for the directions that you give us in our lives, dear Lord. And we do want to pray for Pastor Jill and Carrie, dear Lord, as they go about and follow your direction, dear Lord. We know that as long as we're in your will, that we will be successful, dear Lord, and we're doing the right thing. We thank you for the time they've been here, Lord. And we just look forward even just for the next few months, Lord, as they're still here, Lord. And we just thank you for the care that Pastor Jill has shown to the children, dear Lord, and the things that she's taught them. Dear Lord, be with us as we all go home today, dear Lord, and keep us safe and keep us and bring us back for small groups and church service tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.